Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yes, thank you for having me. From Boston originally, spent a couple of years in Denver, but moved to Austin, Texas earlier this year. And I work remotely for OneTech, so I'm not here for work per se, but at the same time I am. The e-commerce community, the fact that it's bustling so much here, that was definitely one of the primary reasons for moving here. It's also been fun to have a mild winter. And yeah, I do sales, marketing, partnerships at OneText, where we have built text-to-buy for e-commerce.
Awesome. So can you just tell me a little bit more about OneText and just really kind of go through the user experience? If somebody signs up for it, what does that look like?
Yeah, definitely. My founders are both from PayPal. So the original inspiration for them to weave and start OneText was they wanted to try and match how easy it is to shop by room number when you're at a hotel or a resort. So with us, we kind of enable that frictionless payment experience for the digital world, where instead of that room number piece, it's their phone number that becomes that payment method on file. There is a first time experience where, we originally are vaulting someone's card, but even that is, super frictionless. Moyes of Native Deodorant actually tweeted about us earlier in this year. And, the part of the experience that he chose to tweet about, was that original vaulting his card piece, because we do pre-fill information based on their phone number. So it is, still faster than the usual flow. But any purchase after that, you're able to just reply yes to campaigns. So it's pretty nifty.
But I guess how do you guys set yourselves apart from it's a very competitive space. So I guess what makes you unique compared to your competition?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, sending a text is a commodity. Any vendor can say, hey, we have a new apparel collection, here's the link. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, we're really the only ones who have decided to build out the second piece there. Hey, thanks for adding that new t-shirt to your cart. Reply yes to order now. And I guess, our CTO, I would call him a 10x CTO. He was at PayPal for 12 years, principal engineer. My CEO, Jonathan, is amazing too. So I think a lot of the credit has to go to them in terms of, why hasn't the competition decided to build out something similar?
Right. So I guess as of now, when it comes to e-com, obviously it's an e-com product, but are there certain industries that you guys work more with, certain niches, or what are you guys targeting, even when it comes to partnerships?
Yeah. We really work well across all verticals. Of our top five merchants, I think maybe one or two have under five SKUs, and then the other two or three there have thousands of SKUs. And then I personally definitely get most excited when it is somebody that has is selling replenishable products, just because we have a very strong performance of shifting one-time orders into auto refills. We don't call ourselves a subscription app, but we can kind of sit on top of that brand. If it's a supplement brand, we can sit on top of their recharge or whatever and drive basically incremental recurring revenue from that refills feature. But we work with plenty of apparel brands, et cetera, who actually some of them do have, a random t-shirt type subscription, but subscription isn't their main thing. But yeah, it really works across all verticals, as well as during the discovery process. I often get questioned about we have an older customer demo, how will they react to this? But it's pretty crazy, honestly. One of the favorite parts of my job is we have a Slack channel called Wins, where, we have customer service agents that monitor the inbox for a lot of our merchants. And when people make orders, they get their Shopify receipt. And then we're also asking for feedback. And a lot of times it's grandmothers or, clearly older people who were struggling ordering on the site. And of course, it's way easier to send a text than, a lot of these funnels these days are for sure, they work and they add, to AOV, et cetera. But for older people, these new age sites can be, pretty scary. So it's funny to see those testimonials from those shoppers when, brands are worried about it.
So when they just click on why, right? Yes to buy, do you already have their credit card info, or do they have to go back and click on a link to buy? What does that look like?
Yeah, the first time flow, basically after someone's saying they want to make an order, if it's our system runs if then statement, like if we have their card on file, then we're going to like, hey, complete your link order here. And then we'll scrape Shopify, Klaviyo, SendLane based on their phone number to pre-fill their email and address if we have it. Or if they're a card on file shopper, you know, then that triggers the order.
So it'll just say, hey, like just to confirm, are you good to use this card ending in these four numbers? Then click Y, and then you can go ahead and buy.
Yeah, there's a 24-hour confirmation window in a bunch of the flows. So, you know, it's still frictionless and it's still that one text for them to, you know, initiate the order. And then most people do like choose to expedite and text back pay now, but they don't have to text back that pay now. Like that order will go through in 24 hours.
Awesome. So what would you say like the biggest challenge that you have when it comes to the business and onboarding people?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of these people are on vendors that like when we report performance, we report two different numbers. One is o only revenue from text to buy, and another is revenue from like a 1 day attribution window. So I think at the end of the day, like attribution is a dark art. And obviously, our North Star is the text to buy revenue, where you know no attribution is being used at all. So maybe merchants are logging into you know the platform that they're on today, and they're seeing you know supposedly great performance, you know, but it's inflated. And that maybe goes, you know, to the top of the mind when they're, you know, judging whether or not to, you know, test out a new platform. A lot of people, you know, want things under one roof, but, you know, I take the stance that, you know, choose the best email, you know, service provider and choose the best SMS marketing provider, and we'll do our best to make sure that they sync and they do. But I think, you know, one text will always be better at SMS than a platform that is doing, you know, multiple different verticals.
So, are most of your customers on Shopify, or do you also work with companies that do custom? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, most are Shopify today. We did recently just finish a WooCommerce integration, and I'm not the most technical person, but I think the reason why our engineers picked that as the second one is because of like open source, and it just makes it easier to build out that third and fourth integration. And then yeah, e-commerce was always the first sort of arena that we wanted to play in. You know, I've demoed like nightclubs and retail establishments this year. So we're excited to expand at a later date. But yeah, very much still focused on the e-commerce use case, but it is top of mind to expand platforms, like maybe a Salesforce Commerce Cloud, et cetera. And then also for countries too. Right now we can just support US sending, but Canada should come early next year, and then you know, Europe and Australia, et cetera, after that. Just a little bit harder for us because, you know, there's a lot of regulations, of course, with texting itself. And then you add the card on file piece, and it's just another, you know, layer of compliance stuff to tackle before entering new markets.
So if somebody goes like on the website and they book a demo, right? So from there, like how much time does it like typically take to actually implement? Like do you guys have like, you know, are you guys like on the Shopify App Store? Can somebody just sign up and get it tomorrow? Or does it take some time for the implementation? Like, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, if you book a demo, and I hope some listeners do, get to meet some new amazing brands. But honestly, yeah, we are a custom app for Shopify, so it just takes a couple more minutes to install than if we were just natively on the App Store. That can be done either async or, you know, our onboarding manager can hop on a quick call with that merchant. And then honestly, the longest part of the process these days is verifying a phone number. A lot of rules there keep on changing. You used to be able to like send low volume. Like we used to be able to onboard a brand today, and while that phone number is waiting to get verified, like they could at least do low volume, like abandoned checkout, we could flip on. But now you have to wait those 2 to 3 days for that phone number to be verified. And then we're off to the races. Some other parts that are kind of unique to us is we sync with a processor. We operate on a bring your own processor model, you know, PayPal, Stripe, any authorized.NET processor, et cetera. You know, do a quick API integration with Klaviyo or SendLane. But yeah, the phone number piece is really, you know, what's out of our control and what has to be done in order to before starting.
So that you're saying is like one of the biggest bottlenecks that takes it, you know, like a few extra days as opposed to just like a plug and play and start right away.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you mentioned that, you know, maybe next year you could potentially have some other verticals outside of e-com. Like where else, you know, do you think and how could it help some other industries?
Yeah, for sure. You know, one story that we love, and we've met with quite a few like Big Four sports teams this year, and it's a fun story. Like, you know, say like I'm a Boston Celtics fan. They have like 2 seats left to tonight's game. They can send that campaign out. Hey, Danny, we have two tickets left to tonight's game. Reply yes to, you know, walk them in. I do just that, and then they win, you know, in overtime, whatever. And they send a text the following morning. Hey, hope you enjoyed that overtime, you know, buzzer beater win. Do you want a jersey so you can have it for your next game? Like, reply yes to order. So then you're stacking, you know, different, what was previously, you know, separate, you know, business units. You're stacking them, and you're using card and file across all of those to just, you know, increase the LTV from that shopper. Even some in stadium type stuff, you know, if you want to get super crazy. And then, you know, of course, you take that arena story. Like, we've met with, you know, nightclubs this year, and it's still an exciting use case for us. But with e-commerce, like, there's not unlimited inventory, but, you know, the brand can always buy more inventory. Whereas, you know, with the stadium, like, there's a certain capacity that, like, you can't sell more of. But those are just some of the things that are top of mind.
So you're thinking that maybe it would be like you send it to people, and then it's like, yeah, it can be hard, right? If you're like offering tickets, so like the same tickets, like thousands of different people at the same time, as an example, like how do you facilitate that, right? I think that could be a challenge.
Yeah, definitely a bit more complex. You know, part of the reason why we're, you know, focused on the e-commerce use case for at least the current time being. But as a sports fan, it is exciting. And at the end of the day, once we get through those hoops, if it's something, you know, it's something that the teams, you know, want and have told us that they want, you know, we're up for the challenge of, you know, molding it to that exact use case.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, like in the nightclub scenario, it's probably a easier one because they're selling, for example, tickets to just like the general event. It's not like specific seats. So it's just like, hey, we're selling. But like to your point that there is like a limitation on how many tickets. So from that standpoint, there's probably a similar challenge there.
I guess with the nightclub, they probably make most of their money from booze, where
Right.
more so unlimited inventory.
Right, exactly. So what would you say, like you mentioned 2024, maybe looking at, you know, other verticals, like what are some of your other goals in the company in 2024?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we had an amazing Black Friday this year in terms of total text to buy orders. It was 2x our previous all time this year, and then it was over 10 like previous Black Friday's total text to buy orders. I'm basically celebrating a 1 year anniversary at One Text, and like the growth team is, you know, basically just for the most part me. So definitely looking to expand the growth team here within the next couple of months. We'll probably add some more engineers, et cetera. But really, it's just, you know, all hands on deck to make sure next Black Friday is 10x what this one was. But it was fun. We had a little setup in my CEO's house. I'm not sure. Have you seen the social network where they have like the big board in their
Yeah,
car?
yeah.
Yeah, so we had our own version of that. But it was fun. Obviously missed my family on Thanksgiving, but I'll be home for Christmas. And, you know, part of the reason why I joined a startup is, you know, for those fun moments on the journey.
That's awesome. We're rooting for you. But what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you joined this company?
It's a good question. Might have to stew on it and get back to you before the end. I mean, in general, I think a tip that I would share with a lot of professionals is to start like posting on, you know, start building a personal brand. Like, I wish I had done that right when I got into e-commerce. I'm glad I did when I was at, you know, my previous company, LiveRecover, because that's how I got connected with Jonathan. Like, the role that I have now was never posted on social media and any job board site. Like, I would not have this role had I not chosen to start, you know, building my brand when I was at that previous company. So I think, you know, that's something where, you know, hopefully a lot of the listeners of this podcast, and I think probably many, you know, are already working on their personal brand. But if not, you know, start today.
That's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your social media handle or the company website? Just best ways to get in contact with you.
Yeah, for sure. The One Text domain is just onetext.com. I'm happy we got that one. And then for Twitter slash X, at Daniel is one of those handles where like it seems like someone got like booted off and like suspended. So I need to find a way to buy that one. But yeah, right now my domain is underscore Daniel, but the A is a V and then underscore. So not as easy as onetext.com. If you want to reach out, onetext.com, book a demo.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm looking forward to hopefully having you join us here in Austin.
Sounds great. Thanks. All right. Bye.
See you.